Want to experience Christ United like never before? Download our app today. You can watch live and previous messages, take sermon notes, get calendar updates, find giving options, and more. Just go to your app store and search Christ United.
Thanks for joining us today. For more information on our church, check out christislove.org. Or you can connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by following at ChristUnitedMB. Thanks again for listening. We hope you enjoyed today's message.
Good morning, Christ United. Hey, if God has been good to you, give him what he deserves. We are so glad you're here, because today, really, this message is life and death. Really, truly eternal life and death, not just for you, but for people you love. So tune in. We're talking about a series that's called The Only Hope. And we said that the only hope for the world is Jesus. But we said the reason that the only hope for the world is Jesus is that the only hope for any human being in the world is Jesus. And the only hope for any human being, Jesus, really is being celebrated around the world, and people are recognizing it and coming to that hope in record numbers in so many places. Like in the continent of Africa, 25,000 people a day finding hope in Jesus. In China, 30,000 people a day finding hope in Jesus. It's happening in Cuba and Guatemala. It's happening in Korea. It's happening all over the world. But in the United States, we learned that it's happening very seldom. Only 2 times per year for every 100 evangelical Christians does somebody come to find that hope. And we asked the question last week, why is it that it's happening everywhere else and not here? And we answered that by saying they are praying. They are praying desperately for people to come to know a relationship with God through his son, Jesus. And after that, a bunch of you filled out these cards and, these prayer banners, and you have cards and you're praying for people. But why is it that people around the world are praying these desperate prayers and earnestly sharing and eagerly sharing the gospel with people around them? It's for this reason. They believe that what the Bible says is true. When Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy 2, verses 4 and 5, that it's God's will that everyone be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. And then he says in verse 5 that there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, and that's Jesus Christ. They believe it. And therefore, they do what verse 1 of that chapter says, that they pray. First of all, they pray, because it's God's will for everybody to be saved. Everybody needs to be saved, and there's one way to be saved, and that's through Jesus. Now, if you truly believe that to be true, everybody needs to be saved, and God wants everybody to be saved, and there's one way to be saved, and that's through Jesus, you can see why they would be earnestly, eagerly seeking to share the gospel with people, praying for them with all of their hearts. Now, how many people here believe what the Bible says is true? Raise your hand. If you believe what the Bible says is true. All right. How many people here believe that what Jesus says is true? Raise your hand. Now, what I want to challenge you on is this. It very well may be that you don't. That you really don't believe what Jesus says is true. Because the problem in the United States is that we have heard what Jesus says so much that it has become entertainment and not something real. To people around the world, it's real. To us, it's entertainment. Take, for instance, the verse that we're going to focus on today. Jesus said this, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Around the world, they believe that to be true. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No one will come to the Father except through him. But in the United States, it is for us entertaining, and we've heard it so often that we've really ceased to believe it's true. We kind of see it as being this almost like it's part of what we've been entertained by for years. Let me give you an example of this. There was a nightclub. This is back in 2003 in Rhode Island, and it's called the Station Nightclub. And at the Station Nightclub, Great White, the band, was there to play. And as Great White was there playing, they had a pyrotechnic display. And that pyro display was going behind them, and everybody was rocking, and everybody was dancing, and everybody was excited, and it was all great. There was a man there to watch that whole experience. His name's Brian Butler. He was there to actually record the experience and do a report on the safety of nightclubs. And as he was there doing the report on the safety of nightclubs, Brian Butler said he saw that the pyrotechnic display had actually set the wall on fire. And he said, as the wall was burning and the fire was climbing up the walls, he said, you would think people would be screaming and running. But in reality, he said, people were just watching. Some backed up a little bit. He said, but he even heard people make comments like, yeah, that's great. And he said, when they're saying like, yeah, that's great, he was saying, I was saying, oh, no, it's time to leave. And he said, I began to tell people, you need to leave, you need to leave. And he said, it was just amazing that people weren't getting that at first. And then what tragically happened was, within just seconds, that flame spread to where this is what people on the outside saw. 100 people were incinerated in that. It was horrific what happened at the station nightclub. But the thing is that people simply just didn't really believe that it was happening. They didn't believe it was true. They thought it was part of the display. They thought it was part of the show. And so do you believe what Jesus said as a part of the show? It's something we as Christians talk about. But do you really believe in reality that there is a life and death, eternal life and death matter here, and that people are at risk of losing their eternal souls, that there's a reality of a place called hell? Do you believe that? Because here's the truth, is that for so many of us, we would say we believe it, but in reality, we don't. Now, I want to kind of capture something for you. As you see that nightclub from the outside in the aftermath, and you think about the horror of what happened in that place, it draws my mind to a place that some of you have been. How many people have ever been to House of Blues? Anybody been to House of Blues? All right, now I'm sure House of Blues is an extremely safe place, but I was in there one night at House of Blues, and I've been there for a number of times, and we were there for a Christian concert. And it was standing room only. Have you ever been to House of Blues when it's standing room only? I was on the far side from where you enter on this side. I was on the far corner, standing room only. I'm not really a claustrophobic kind of guy in that way, but I'm looking around and I'm seeing, my God, this is scary. Because you've got so many people. And I'm looking like, okay, where are the exits? And then you know what I'm doing? Almost everybody I love was in that room. You know, all the people, my family, all my kids, my wife, the people that I love are in that room. And I'm going like, first thing I'm doing is taking account of where are they, right? You know what I'm talking about? Where are they? And where are they relative to the exits? Because there's this feeling in me that says, if something begins to happen, the number one priority I have is to get the people I love to the exit. Would you understand that? Now, you know, in reality, these nightclub fires have not been as seldom as we would like to think they were. There's actually one that happened in the Bronx, New York, back in 1990, and it wasn't from a careless mistake of a pyrotechnician. It was actually an evil act of a pyromaniac. What happened was this guy was angry at his girlfriend. And his name is Julio Gonzalez, and Julio went to this club. The club, ironically, was called Happy Land. And in the Happy Land club, he went, got a gallon of gasoline or a big jug of gasoline, came back, and the one entrance to Happy Land, he poured gasoline all over it and lit that entrance on fire. So you had all the people in there with no way of escape and a fire coming up, the only egress from that spot. I want you to imagine, I mean, just try to imagine that you're at House of Blues and all the people you love are there. It's crowded. And then a pyromaniac, in reality, has blocked the exits. The truth about this place, about the Happy Land, is that the exit possibilities had been bolted shut. And so imagine that all the exit possibilities are bolted shut. There's no way out, and fire is consuming that place, and the people that you love are in it. Now, that's the picture that is painted, and actually, that's the picture that Scripture gives us about our condition in this world. That literally, a pyromaniac who would love nothing more than to see everybody here burned alive has made every possible escape no longer possible because all of us have sinned and fallen short of God's glory, and every single one of us are in the same condition that we have no way out alive and safely home. And so that place, imagine you're in the house of blues and imagine that there is no escape. And then imagine that the person who built that building, who constructed it all from the beginning, said, I know one day somebody's going to be fool enough to do something as evil as this, but I'm going to always make sure there's a way of escape. And that way of escape was to open a way. So imagine I'm at House of Blues. I got the people I love. There's chaos. There's flames. We're in horror. Some people are still dancing. They think it's all a show. But then you're thinking, God, is there some way out? And in walks the son of the one who designed and built the building. And he comes through and he says, I'm here to tell you there's a way out. I've come to tell you the way out of this building. I've opened up a way. Now come. And let's say you just know that son and you know and you trust, you know that he's the son of the one who built and designed that building. And he says, there's a way out. And you even turn to look and you can see the light out of the black smoke and you can feel the cool air streaming in from the outside. I want to ask you, what would be next for you? The truth is that the son is saying there's only one way to get out alive and safely home. If the son's saying there's only one way to get out alive and safely home, what would be your driving passion? It would be, I've got to get to that way, and I've got to get everybody that I love and know to that way. And matter of fact, I just want to get them to the son, because the son's the one that will point the way. I've got to get them there. That condition is what Jesus is referring to when Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is saying, look, here's the condition of this world. This world is such a dangerous and horrific place, and all of us are in the same condition. But he said, I've come as the one who created all this, has sent me, his son, to show you he made a way for you to get out alive and safely home. That was so important to the early church that the early church was called the way. The way. It's the most significant. It's the reason why the Son was sent. Not just to show the way, but to actually make the way. Jesus, he came to make the way and lead the way. So I'm going to make a way and I'm going to lead you out of it. Now, making a way for a building that's consumed in fire, those of you who are firefighters would say, look, if this place was literally consumed in fire, all the oxygen sucked out, just heavy with black smoke, if somebody came and there was no opening, no exit, nothing happening, and they opened a way, what would happen? They would be consumed in the fire, because the fire would just suck up that oxygen, go after that spot, so whoever opened that way would be in trouble. And the reality is, when Jesus came to open the way for us, it really literally meant him walking into the inferno. It meant him taking that on himself and literally taking our pain and our suffering on himself to open up a way so that we could go out in safety. He took our hell so we could have his heaven. Peter said it this way in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. He says this, that for Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit. For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit. He said, I've come, I've made a way for you, and that way is over my smoking, torched body. You know what I'm saying? He's saying, it's over my body, the blood that I shed on the cross. It's over my own suffering. I went through the suffering that would have been yours, not the suffering of fire, but the suffering of death and hell. I took it for you so that you could have a safe way out. I was put to death in the body, now I'm made alive by the Spirit, and my purpose is to be here screaming at you, saying, listen, there's a way, and there's only one way, and I made the way, and I am the way, and if you will just trust me and follow me, I'll lead you in that way safely home. Now, yeah, that works. So, But listen to this reality as you think through that and process it. If that's true, then I've got a question for you to ask yourself. If he said that I'm the gate, whoever enters through me will be saved. I've made a way for you. If that's what Jesus said, why am I not desperately leading others to him? Why am I not desperately leading other people to him? If I were to get a show of hands and say, how many people this week have shared how the way to a relationship with Jesus, the way to know the way to eternal life, have shared that with at least three people, how many people would raise their hand and say yes? How many people have shared it with at least three people? I've got one, two people here. And you go like, three, four. Thank you. That's awesome. Now, out of hundreds, the question that you need to ask yourself is, why am I not desperately leading others to him? And here might be the answer to that question. It could be this. Now, in terms of desperately leading people to Jesus, I want to share an example of that. Paul was so passionate about leading other people to Jesus that even when he was told, if you go to Jerusalem, you're going to be beaten and imprisoned and likely lose your life for going to Jerusalem, he said, I can't do anything but go. I've got to go and share because I love those people. They weren't even his family members. They weren't his neighbors. They were the Jews, the people, his people that he had come from. And he said, I've got to let them know the truth. I've got to testify to it. They were beating him so severely that guards from Rome had picked him up and were carrying him so that no one could beat on him anymore. And you know what he said? Put me down. And he said, please let me speak to the people. I've got to. I'm desperate to tell them the way. If the reality is that you were in that burning building and there was one way out, you would be in that same place. You'd be like, oh my God, I've got to do whatever I've got to do to share this with the people that I love and even people I don't love. I've got to get people out safely and alive. But I don't, and here's why. Maybe it's because, could it be that I don't believe there is really any danger? Is it possible that you don't believe there's any danger? You're like the people in the station nightclub. It's like, I'm watching the show, and yes, I say that Jesus is the way and the truth and the life, and I talk about the Bible, and I read the stories, and I watch the videos, and I do life group, and I do all that stuff, but I really don't believe there's any danger. We're told by Peter this, and it's a pretty powerful statement in 2 Peter chapter 3, starting in verse 3, he says this, above all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. It says that they'll say this, where is this coming that he promised? Ever since our ancestors died, everything has gone on as it has since the beginning of creation. But then he says this, but they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens came to being and the earth was formed out of water and by water. And by these same waters, the earth or the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. And then he said, and the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being held for the day of judgment and the destruction of the ungodly. Peter's saying, it's right there. These people are deliberately forgetting that the fire is coming, that the destruction is coming, that we're in a horrifically dangerous position right now. And so they forget that. And they're saying, when's it going to happen? It hasn't happened yet. It's never going to happen. And then he says this in verses 2 Peter 3, verses 7 and 8. He says, but do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. He's saying, look, God's not slow. With him, a day is like 1,000 years. 1,000 years is like a day. He's waiting because he doesn't want anybody to burn. He doesn't want anybody to be lost. And his patience is there with the hope that you will come to know him. And then he says in the next verse, in verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with the roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. He said, that's what's going to happen. And so for everybody here who's thinking there is no danger, I've really stopped believing that there's really any danger. I've read the stories. I've heard all the stuff, but I really don't believe there's any danger. I believe in a loving God, and I think that Jesus, gentle Jesus, meek and mild, really expresses the fact that everybody's going to be okay. How many people know that Jesus says everybody's going to be okay? Jesus actually said it this way in the book of Matthew chapter 13, sounds very different than everybody's going to be okay. Jesus himself said the Son of Man will send out his angels and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the blazing furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's gentle Jesus, meek and mild, who said that. Jesus said there's really danger. You got to tune into this reality. Stop thinking it's some kind of entertainment. It's just a story that you've heard, a story that you've told. This is a reality. And people in China believe it's a reality. And people in Africa believe it's a reality. And people in Guatemala believe it's a reality. People in the United States are stupid to not recognize that it is a reality. And he's saying, get this, there really is danger. Jesus said it. If I don't believe it, then I don't believe what Jesus said. And it could be that I also feel this. Could it be that I believe that all good people make it safely home? Well, maybe there is some bad stuff happening, but that's for those wicked, terrible people. You know, that's for the pyromaniac. You know what I'm saying? So I believe that Julio Gonzalez will burn, but not good people. Good people all get home safely. I just know that has to be the way it is, right? How many people would think that would be good? If I'm there at House of Blues, surrounded by the people that I love and the people from every nation, tribe, people, and language packed into this place. It's burning, and I see a way that I can make it out, and I go, well, you know, all these people, most of them are good. Good people, they don't burn, do they? Good people can't get caught in that, can they? As a matter of fact, the reality is if you and I were doing that, we'd be like, how foolish. Let me ask you, if I'm in House of Blues is on fire, there's one avenue of escape, and I say to myself, good people are going to be okay, and I leave. Is that good for good people or bad for good people? Pretty bad for good people, isn't it? Because the reality is what Scripture says is, look, there's really no good people. Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 12 says this, as it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. He goes on and says, there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. The reality is there's no difference. Here's the picture, guys. This building's burning and nobody is strong enough to push out the grates. Nobody is fast enough to outrun the flames. Nobody is going to get out alive unless they take the way out that He made out. That's the reality. And for us to think to ourselves, all good people get out, is so horrible for the good people. God's saying, don't you get it? There's nobody that's going to be safe. I've made a way for everybody, and everybody needs that way. Make sure everybody knows that way. How about if I was in that place and I thought, you know, my son, I just love that boy. He is such a good kid. I don't have to worry about making sure he knows the way, do I? He's just a good boy. He isn't mean to other people. He's just, you know what I'm saying? He's not one of those murdering, thieving, hateful people. I don't need to show him the way. That would be wicked. Because I love him, I need him to know the way. And somebody else might think this, and this could be you. Could it be that I believe that any way is safe if you sincerely believe. How many people believe that? I believe that any way is safe as long as we sincerely believe. Now, what if I believe that in the House of Blues, while it's on fire, and there's one way of escape? Well, any way that somebody sincerely believes is surely okay. Jesus said something very different. Again, this is Jesus speaking, so do we believe what he says? In Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, he said this, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Jesus said that most people are going a way that's not going to get them where they're hoping to be. And so he's saying, look, here's the reality. The reality is, guys, please hear this. Just because somebody sincerely believes that it's a way does not mean it's a way. And it's not safe just because they sincerely believe it. There was a fire back in 1942 at a nightclub. This nightclub was called the Coconut Grove. Coconut Grove was the worst nightclub disaster in American history. And when that fire began and began to sweep through that nightclub, people started going to what they thought were surely safe exits. One of those was the very front door they came in. It was one revolving door. What happens when a bunch of people run into one revolving door? All of a sudden, it's just a pack of people. And they said people were just crushed and packed up at the front of it until the glass broke and the air swept in. And then the flames were just sucked through and they were all incinerated as they went to a place that they thought was a safe exit. There were other places, whether exit signs were marked or whatever the case may be, they were side doors that had actually been bolted shut, and people would run for side doors and find themselves in a place where they couldn't get out. Imagine a maze of corridors where you're following people that seem to know the way, and everybody's saying, come on, let's get out, and people are actually going into places that will trap them in rooms that have no exit. Imagine that process. You know how many people died like that? There were 492 people who died, all thinking that they were finding a safe exit, or all thinking that they would be okay right where they were. And so get this picture. How many people would recognize them sincerely believing that it was a safe exit did not make it a safe exit? Do you agree? And what kind of person would I be if I had seen the exit, if I knew the way, and the sun had come to tell me, I've made a way, here's the way, and I were to say, well, that's my way, but I don't want to impose my beliefs on anybody else. I sure don't want to offend somebody else, especially somebody from another culture. All the people from another culture who are packed up against that door can die, because I sure wouldn't want to offend them by telling them that this is the way. The reality is that the way is not something that has to do with geography. The gospel didn't come to the United States. The gospel came to the Middle East, and the gospel is being heard all over the world. And people on the other side of the world are seeing the way. And Jesus is saying, I didn't come just for the people in the United States. I came for every single human being on the planet. I didn't come just for the religious, spiritual people. I came for everybody, because I don't want anybody left in this place. You've got to let them know the way. And so how many people revisit right now in your mind? Go with me. I'm in House of Blues. I'm thinking about all the people that I love. I'm thinking about my precious sons and my precious daughters. I'm thinking about my wife. I'm thinking about my friends. I'm thinking about my brothers. I'm thinking about every person in the world. And I'm just imagining that scenario. And I'm thinking, what in the world? What in the world could keep me from desperately leading people to the sun to say, you've got to get to him because he's made a way. You've got to get out. Well, here's the possibility. Could it be that I don't believe that what the sun is saying is true? Now, tune in. Could it be that you don't believe what the Son is saying is true? I can think of no other reason why you would not be desperately praying and earnestly sharing the way with everybody that you could possibly find or know. The only other reason for not doing that would be if I didn't believe what the Son was saying was true. And Jesus said, that's the way it is. In speaking to the Jews, most of the world falls into to Jews, Muslims, and Christians. And for the Muslims and the Jews, all of them go back to Abraham and to Moses and to believing that, yeah, there was truth spoken. And Jesus said this interesting statement. He said, if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. He said, but since you don't believe what he wrote, how are you going to believe what I say? Is it possible that you, like the people Jesus was speaking to at that time, just don't believe any of it? Because if you believed any of it, you would believe him. And he's saying, don't you get it, guys? Don't you get it? The reason you have not been desperately sharing the gospel with everybody you know, the reason you haven't been praying desperate prayers for the people that you love and for your neighbors and the people you work with and people whose faces you see right now, the precious people from other nations and all over the world, the reason that we're not passionately committed to that, could it be that we don't believe what Jesus is saying is actually true? Because look, If we did believe that what Jesus was saying was true, nothing else would really matter. Do you get that? Nothing else would really matter. If I was in House of Blues and that place was on fire, nothing else would matter but getting people safely to the exit. Do you believe that? Can you imagine yourself being a place, I mean, it's on fire and the people you love and there's one exit and you're going like, I wonder who's going to win the series, yeah? Or, son, come over here. I got to talk to you. Have you chosen the right college yet? I want to make sure you make a lot of money, right? Would that matter? It wouldn't matter. It wouldn't matter at all. The only thing that would matter would, I've got to get them safely home. That's the only thing that would matter. After that, some other things might matter. But until that, nothing else matters. Nothing. Y'all, listen. For Paul, he just said it this way. He said, I consider my life worth nothing to me if only I can finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. That's the only thing that matters. I got to let people know. There was, when the Coconut Grove fire was burning, there was a man and his name's Clifford Johnson, and Clifford Johnson was a Coast Guard guy, and he was there with a date, like a fiance. And she, he felt, was still in there. And they said he went back in four times into that inferno to look for her. He was burned, third-degree burns, over 55% of his body. Nobody had ever been burned that bad and still lived. But he was like, I will not stop going back until I find the person that I love and get them out safely. Do you get the picture? God's saying, we got to desperately share that truth. And the fact that the Son has come to make a way, I can't believe that we get in our mind somehow that, oh, that's unfair. You mean there's only one way? Imagine that the Son comes into the burning building to say, I've made a way. And you go, well, that's not fair. You should have made a lot of ways. Why don't you make every way work? He said, I made a way. Take the way that I made. Now listen, guys. The reality is that right now the grace of God to make a way should be beyond our comprehension. It should be just, God, how could you, why would you make a way? Why would you watch your Son walk into that for me? I want to find the way, and I want to make sure everybody I love finds the way. There was a young lady, we started a thing at Coastal when I was there many years ago. It was then called Campus Crusade for Christ. Now it's called Crew. Anybody a part of Crew or Campus Crusade? All right, you guys who are, when we started that, it's just a group of people that just said, we want to make sure everybody knows. And one of the guys who was with Campus Crusade was telling us a story, and he said, we had a group of college students in the room with us, and as we were sharing about the way that Jesus had made, they then asked the question, well, how about people who hadn't heard about the way, that don't know about the way? What does it mean about them? I want to ask you, in Coconut Grove, what happened to people who didn't know about the way? In the Station nightclub, what happened to the people that didn't know about the way? And he said, tragically, I have to answer the question is if they don't know the way, they don't know the way, and there's no way but the way. And she slammed her Bible down and screamed out, that's not fair. And she ran out crying out of the room. And he said she was gone for 3 weeks. He didn't see her back for a meeting. He prayed for her and he thought, oh God, she's just so offended. On the fourth week or so, she came back and she said, what you said to me shook me to my core. She said, I've made a decision over this last 3 weeks that I'm spending the rest of my life carrying the news of Jesus Christ to everybody on the planet who doesn't know it. I'm giving myself to that. Right? Because, yeah, and now listen to this. Listen to this. Please tune in. Please tune in. When she said, that's not fair. What is not fair is that there would be a way and we would know the way and we would know the one who made the way and we wouldn't do everything we could to make sure everybody knows the way. Do you get that picture? That's why Kel Steiner, who's with YWAM, told me he just met a man in his 80s. In his 80s, instead of going to live in Cancun, he's moving to a place that's called Komodo, where the Komodo dragons come from, where there are people group who have never heard the gospel and don't have the gospel in their own language. And this man is taking a plane and a hop over, and I think he has to take a boat to get to that island in his 80s to say, I'm devoting the rest of my life to making sure everybody in Komodo knows the way. I just want to know about you. Do you even care about going across the street to make sure somebody knows the way? I want to say that we got something that's been available, Revive. We've been doing it for months, and you've been asked to come, and you've been told if you come, you can learn how to share the way, and you'll be able to go out and watch somebody else share the way. And by the time you're finished, you'll get it, and you'll know how you can say, hey, guys, here it is. But nobody comes. Why? Because you really don't believe what Jesus said is true. But next Sunday, we're going to do it right after the service. We're going to do it, and we'll feed you, and you'll get it shared with you, and you'll learn how to share that truth, and you'll be able to go out with some other people who have done it before, and you'll be able to go out and just learn, how do I share with somebody the way? How do I tell them about how to follow Jesus and land safely home? It's next Sunday. I just want to know how many people are going to take a Connect card right now and fill it out real clearly, and on the back of it, write Revive. How many people are going to do that? How many people are going to go on the app right now? You can go on your app, your Christ United app. You can sign up for that. You can go on your computer, and you can sign up online for that. But my question is going to be, how many people give a rip? What else could be more important than me learning how to share that way? Every single fourth Sunday, we have a share class in the back, and we tell people how to share about Jesus and how to lead people to Jesus. Because how many people know this? If I was in a burning building, and some people are still partying, and some people are screaming, and everybody's saying, this way, this way, this way, this way, how do I get somebody to listen to me to say, here's the way? I gotta know. And every fourth Sunday at 10 o'clock in the back, we teach you how to share it. We teach you how to get the attention of people instead of driving them farther away, instead of getting them confused. We teach you how to do it. Are you going to come and learn? Lord God, I just want to ask you that what you would do in the last few minutes that we have together is that there'll be a whole lot of people pulling up the app and signing up to be here next Sunday afternoon. There'll be a whole lot of people, Lord God, taking out their Connect cards and writing their names really clearly and their addresses and, I mean, their emails and their phone numbers, and that they'd be writing Revive on the back of a card just saying, I need to know, I need to know, I need to know. Lord, I also pray that as we begin the song, that there'll be people coming down here to the front to write down the names of some more people on these prayer banners. And they would begin earnestly praying for people they love that don't know you, for neighbors they love that don't know you, for coworkers they know that don't know you, for people that you've put within their path that they could just reach out and say, do you know the way? Lord God, we pray in Jesus' name that there would be lots happening in the next few minutes. In Jesus' name, amen. Guys, for those who would, these little prayer banners have a little card on the back of them. If you were here last week, you know there's a place where you can write the name of somebody that you just want to begin praying earnestly for. God, show me the way to show them the way. Help me to lead them to you. I just want you to begin moving in their lives. And I've heard testimony after testimony from people who started praying last week that said, you wouldn't believe how God's already moving in the life of people I love. But we invite you to come and you fill that out. And when you do, there's a card that you can write their names on and keep that card with you as a reminder. You come do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, however many you want to, and you leave them here on the altar, and we'll hang them with the rest of those, and we're going to pray for them every single week. So we invite you to stand as we're led in worship, and you do in this moment what you need to do.
Thanks for listening to this podcast by Christ United. If you'd like to respond to today's message, or if you want to share how God is using this ministry in your life, please send us an email to media@christislove.org. Or you can connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by following @ChristUnitedMB. Thanks again for joining us, and may God bless you.